broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on this show, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We go places that other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, because they can't. This is Radio for Patriots. I don't know what that means, but...
Sounds good.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, so join us, won't you? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we are online at philhendryshow.com. All you have to do is go to our website and sign up for a backstage pass. And, by the way, you loyal backstage pass holders, you guys that have been with us for years, you guys who have just signed up with a backstage pass, those of you who may go over tonight and get a backstage pass, your loyalty is going to be rewarded very soon. That's right. So go over to philhendryshow.com. You can watch our live streaming video of the show right now on Phil TV in HD. 877-876-PHIL. 9/11 is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the tragedy of 9/11 right around the corner. To talk about this with us is David G. Hall, who is the vice president of syndication for our program. On the road tonight, David. And we just had Ted Bell on the air.
I heard that.
Did you want to follow up with any of that?
Well, he was upset that you leave the air and you go to commercial breaks, Phil. And a lot of times you go to a commercial break having just talked to the caller, and the two of you sort of make the point, and then you go to a break and you don't let Ted end the segment as if he made the better point, you see?
And so every segment I'm supposed to end with...
This is something that you should know as a broadcaster and with an advertiser like Ted Bell or any broadcaster with any advertiser, you want to make them look good. When you go to a break, having just told Ted Bell, I think what you said to him was something along the lines of, and I understand your feelings, Phil, that our veterans are not criminals, and our veterans should be treated better than Ted Bell frisking them and thinking that they're going to have I forgot what he said, a flashback?
Yeah, he thought that any veteran that was concealing a weapon was likely to have a flashback and think his waitress is Taliban.
Right, I understand your point. But he is the sponsor. And in that instance, when we go to a stop set, the last thing that should be said is Ted looking good. So he can say that and look good. And that's your job. I don't know what else to tell you.
And my job, I don't see my job, David.
Well, hold on. I'm just telling you. Don't tell me how you see your job. Tell me what your job is.
My job is not to let my sponsor go into a break feeling like he's made a big point on how veterans are criminals.
See, you want to argue about this. The reason why I came on your show tonight was not about this.
No, I understand that, but Ted, did he call you?
He called me as soon as he got off the air, and his point was a good point. He said every time you go to a commercial break, he is sitting there, and I think he used the term, in his own stench. Did he say that to you?
Yes.
All right.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, it means, what it sounds like to me is that in a room where there's a bad smell, you don't want to be the guy that everyone thinks created it. And Ted is saying that when you go to a commercial break, he's left looking like the guy that created a cloud of stench. That's what he said to me. I'm just quoting him. And
well, you understand that is an unreasonable... Everything that he's saying is very unreasonable. I have to be able to talk to my audience honestly, and I have to be able to talk to my caller and my guest honestly, and I'm certainly not going to allow what I think are ridiculous statements to be made.
It's your show. You can do what you want. I mean, the reason why I came on your program tonight is for an entirely different reason. Phil, you can do whatever you want on your show, and people are going to listen to you for Phil Hendry. They're not listening to you for Ted Bell. I understand that. But I'm just saying, when it comes to a sponsor, and that's what he is, and that's what the money is.
All right, I understand that.
All right,
so tonight, David, you're online with us as we look ahead to Saturday.
That's right.
Which is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the events of September the 11th of 2001. And we are planning on our show, as we usually do, and that'll be our Saturday night Los Angeles show, our local Los Angeles show, as we always do, we will be playing the sights and the sounds of, well, I shouldn't say sights, it's radio, but perhaps as we have our Phil TV and HD video cast going, we will show some of the newscasts and things like that.
No, I understand that, Phil. I think it's a good call. What I need for you to do for the national show, and that is our Monday through Friday show, and this is one of those areas where we always talk, and you are concerned that the audience is going to hear something. And again, you need to understand, the audience is very selective in the way they hear things. But I wanted to come on your program tonight and talk because I think it's very important, and I think there's broadcasters listening who understand this. I think it's important that you, on the air on Friday night, it'll be the night before the actual anniversary, you reenact 9/11 as if you were on the air when it happened. And you can play a lot of the audio you've got.
Wait, well, you want me to reenact what?
I want you to reenact as if you were on the air when 9/11 happened.
I wasn't on the air.
No, I understand that.
And I mean, it happened early in the morning out here on the West Coast. It was much, much earlier than it was back east. It was before 7 o'clock, I think.
Yes, it was before 7 a.m. out on the West Coast when everything was done, when the attacks had happened, when the Pentagon had been hit, everything. But I want you on your show Friday night here for the national show if you want to pre-record it, you can, but pretend like you were on the air.
No, wait, okay, here we have another thing.
Let me finish what I want to say that I want to hear. Pretend like you were on the air. So reenact as if you were on the air when the 9/11 attacks happened, like you were there, and, oh, my God, I don't know how you want to do it.
Okay. We're on the air right now. My listeners can hear what you're saying.
No, Phil, I understand that, okay? Well, they're selective. People don't remember. I've talked to you.
Hold on. People hear you telling me that on Friday night you want me to reenact 9/11 as if I was on the air.
Yes, and the people that are listening right now are selective listeners. Everybody is a selective listener. By Friday night, they're not going to remember. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. You're getting me bogged down in a lot of stuff here.
And the people are listening to me right now, and they're listening to you right now, and they're listening to you saying, Phil, reenact as if you were on the air on 9/11. Do you want people to really believe that I was on the air on 9/11?
Yes, of course.
I wasn't.
I know that. I understand that you weren't. What I'm saying is, we're going to reenact it as if you were.
So the historical record would be that I was on the air.
Well, I don't know what you mean by historical record. Phil, you're not Thomas Jefferson. You're not Benjamin Franklin.
I know I'm not Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. I'm saying
there's no historical record here. Okay.
There were people that were on the air when 9/11 happened. There were people that were on a radio. There were people that were on TV. There were people that were engaged in their professional pursuits, whatever those things might be. I was not one of them.
I know you weren't, and what I'm trying to do is to reposition the audience's perception that you were. Now, I don't want to argue with you. I want you to do this Friday night. I want you to have the audio ready. And I want you you're an actor. You were just in that movie, weren't you?
I was just in a movie, yeah.
All right, so you know how to act. And I'm asking you to, on Friday night, you're on the air, and then the 9/11 happens. And what we would do is, if we can rehearse or whatever you want to call it, now the audience is listening now. The perception of the audience will be the following thing. They heard something they don't remember. When you go on the air and you reenact, most of the people are going to say, oh, Phil Henry was on the air on 9/11.
That's not going to... Even if people bought it, okay?
That's exactly what we want them to do, because we need to position you as more of a... to be honest with you, we need to position you as more of a conservative voice than a lot of them. One of these things I want you to do is the name Phil Henry is too much identified with things that are non-political, and we can get into that. So what I'd like you to do now is...
Well, look at David.
Hold on for a minute. I'm not discussing this. I'm telling you. Do you understand?
I'm on the air right now.
I understand that you're on the air right now. I understand that. And believe me when I tell you, the audience... You don't understand radio audiences. They are not the geniuses you think they are. And
so they're not hearing you insult them right now?
I'm not insulting anybody.
They're not the geniuses you think they are?
Oh, boy. Radio, even as I said that, it rolled over them. They don't know what it means. Just listen to me. I want you to do, before you take the break, pretend you're on the air and you're doing your show, and then you get the word that a plane hit the World Trade Center.
Am I going to rehearse this?
I'd like you to rehearse a little bit of it, yeah.
I don't know where to begin.
Phil, I don't have a lot of time, and I wanted to do this off the air. You're busy. Now pretend like you're on the air. It's September the 11th, 2001.
It's the Phil Henry Show. It's September the 11th, 2001, and it's early morning here in, on the West Coast.
All right, now you get the word to play. Boom, the plane hit.
Well, who's telling me?
Just you got the word the plane hit a building. Start again, if you don't mind.
You know something, David?
Start again, if you don't mind.
Phil Henry Show here. It's September the 11th, 2001, and it's a beautiful day here on the West Coast. And
well, it was a beautiful day on the East Coast. Hold on for a minute. What do you mean a beautiful day on the West Coast?
It was a beautiful day out here.
Well, I don't remember that. Go ahead.
Phil Henry Show here, September the 11th, 2001. It's a beautiful day out here on the West Coast. And
boom, the plane just hit.
Oh, boy.
Boy, is that what you're going to say? Oh, boy.
You know something, David?
Hold on for a minute. I'm not having a discussion. Is that what you're going to say?
I did not know that I was going to be called upon to pretend like I was on the air on September. What is the point of this?
The point is, we want to have some actual audio of a guy that was on the air on September the 11th, 2001, who's a part of our company. You are that guy. You're worried about the audience. The audience will not remember because it's selective listening. I keep telling you this. Start again, Phil.
We got to take a break.
I know. Just one more time before the break.
It's Phil Henry and...
So let me ask you something. You're so concerned. Why don't you open up the phones? You can take phone calls. I'll be happy to talk to any of your listeners and to explain to them what it is we're doing and explain to them how, if they find it offensive, how it is not offensive and how they won't really remember. You want me to do that?
If we're going to be on here talking about me pretending I was on the air on...
Do you want me to do that, Phil? I can't have a discussion.
Yes.
All right. Then you give the number. You can have the people call. But in the meantime, I've got to do this.
All right. Our number is...
I want to roll through it one more time.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. As I am rehearsing, pretending that I was on the air on September the 11th, 2001. I find that to be disingenuous. It's not historical. It's not accurate. And yet Mr. Hall believes that no one is going to be upset because no one will remember whether I was on the air then or not. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. Yep. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, as we are talking about the anniversary of 9/11 and how we want to observe that on our radio show. David, you have come on the program here tonight wanting me to rehearse a performance that you want me to give on tape as if I was on the air. I was not on the air.
I understand that.
And I wasn't on the air, and I don't understand, and if you'll just forgive me, I don't understand why it is you want me to pretend like I was on the air.
The reason why I want you to pretend, as you put it, Phil, that you were on the air is because we're coming from behind the ball on this one, being located in... I want to make sure that you get the patriotic brownie points, if you want to call it that. And more to the point, I want for when I send my salesman out to sell your show, when I'm out and I'm socializing and I am talking to people in the film business and talking to people in the television business, and they say to me, you know, you represent Phil Henry, and I say yes. And they'll ask, you know, about the patriotic brownie points, what I call them, patriotic brownie points.
And patriotic brownie points from who?
The people that I talk to, I want to make sure that you were in a good and dramatic position.
But these are Hollywood people.
Yes.
Well, most of them are very liberal.
They're liberal, but they like the dramatic idea that you were on the air when 9/11 happened.
And is this to help sell the show?
You mean advertising?
Yeah.
Yes, it does that. It also is, these are contacts that I need. If I'm selling a script or...
So in other words, it's got nothing to do with my radio show. This has to do with your contacts in Hollywood, in...
No, it has to do with... All what I'm trying to tell you is we need dramatic... We need a patriotic, dramatic point. And why do you... Let me ask you this, Phil. I think your audience would agree. Why are you being so... why do you want to be Mr. Squeaky Clean on this? You tell people you were on the air on 9/11. Are they going to think you are lying or telling the truth?
People, I think, give me the benefit of the doubt.
What does that mean?
I think they'll think I'm telling the truth.
That's my point.
I'm not going to lie to them.
Don't tell me you're not. I'm the guy out there on the point trying to sell your show.
You're the guy that has got contacts in Hollywood and that wants to make sure that you know people who are going to sell or buy your script or whatever you said. Let's go to a phone call. Brenda in Meridian, Mississippi. Brenda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
David. I can't.
Are these the people that called in?
These are the people you asked to call in, yeah.
Hello, go ahead. This is David Hall.
David, I could not believe that you would even think of making him lie like he was doing something, and it wasn't even.
Well, it's not a lie.
I listened to this.
It's not a lie. It's not a lie.
Yes, it is a lie.
No, it's not, because what it is.
It is
how do you figure it's a lie? How do you figure it's a lie?
We heard it on the radio, and we're not too stupid to remember it. We can hear.
By Friday.
We don't forget that much.
So you're saying that this radio show is, we don't have the guts to be on the air during 9/11?
She's not saying that.
I didn't say you don't have the guts.
Excuse me, let me talk to her.
I never
said
you didn't have the guts. I just said it would
be.
You would be very.
What I'm trying to say
to you is, you would be horrible if you even thought of asking him to do something like that when he's already said that he was not on the air. I mean,
you didn't know that. You didn't know that. You didn't know that until Phil said that. Had Phil said he was on the air.
Nobody knows that he wasn't on the air.
Nobody does know.
I'm not going to say.
Phil, would you, excuse me for a minute. Your name's Brenda? Brenda? Hold on for just a minute, all right? Phil, when I'm talking to a caller, I would like you to keep your mouth shut.
David.
I'm asking you to keep your mouth shut.
Hmm.
All right? All right, is the lady there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The caller there? All right. So, what are you complaining about? I said to him.
I can't even believe that he would even work for you.
What does that mean, ma'am?
You don't have any gumption and no respect for what did happen on 9/11 to ask
somebody.
That is disrespectful.
I do know what happened on 9/11. Mr. Henry was on the air.
Disrespectful.
Ma'am, Mr. Henry was on the air, all right? Whatever you think.
You don't know that. You've already said he wasn't.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
There you go again.
I know he did.
No, he didn't, because
yes,
I'm telling you that he didn't.
Yes, he did.
I did, David. I said...
Would you shut your mouth, Phil?
He needs to poke you in the mouth for telling him to shut his mouth. That's what he's on the radio for, is to open his mouth.
You know, I could make a joke here, and I'm not going to do it.
That's fine with me. I could take a joke, but I don't consider 9/11 a joke.
Okay. Well, I could say the same thing about you. What are you doing in life not to have your mouth open?
I'm sitting here...
David, I'm not going
to
have...
You're not going to tell me to hush.
You have something in your mouth. What did you just...
This is my quarter.
You said you had something in your mouth. Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
You come on this program. Yeah, I bet you do. And you come on...
All right, David, I don't need this.
I told you to shut up.
I don't want you talking to a female caller like that.
He doesn't.
Boy, listen to her laugh.
Worse.
Like, well, you're the one that came on here and said, "Hi, I'm Brenda, and I got something in my mouth."
I didn't say.
Guess what? And win the prize.
Hi, I'm Brenda. I just said, "Yes, I'm Brenda."
The point is that
and
Brenda is not going to.
Ma'am, I am trying desperately to get this radio show to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just—I want to say this. No, you didn't hear him say that. Would you please?
Yes,
hang
I did.
Up on her? No, you did not. Would
yes,
you please
I
hang
did.
Up on her? No, you did not. When I ask you to hang up, I mean hang up.
Again, Mr. Hall.
No, you didn't.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for a live-streaming video of the show. David G. Hall is joining us, our Vice President of Syndication. And we're having this discussion on the air, David, because you wanted to.
No, because you were very busy and
all right, I was busy and we agreed to this time. But what you're asking me to do, and I think it's a philosophical dispute more than anything else, you're asking me to reenact on Friday morning for consumption as if I was on the air on the morning of 9/11. I've asked you not to have me do that because it's not true.
We would have the tape of you being on the air on the morning of 9/11. It's not true. I understand that. I want you to reenact being on the air on the morning of 9/11 so that we have tape of you on the air facing down the worst terrorist attack in the history of this country. This is tape that is valuable to me when we go out and sell your show, yes, and other things. And I wanted to have it. I think you took the conversation in a direction that I don't want it to go in. You're talking about my contacts in Hollywood and so forth. That's really none of your business. And
well, is it not my business if you're taking tape of me reenacting being on the air on 9/11 when I wasn't?
What? Say that again.
Is it my business if you're taking tape of me reenacting that I was on the air on 9/11 when I wasn't? And you're using that as some kind of currency.
It's my business to take tape of our talent to advertisers and to important people in the film and television business, yes, that I want to talk to and that I have potential production deals with.
And so this is all about you.
No, it's not all about me. And it's really unfortunate because you're not listening. I said to help with advertising on your show as well.
All right, well, there's two things going on here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Justin. Go ahead, Justin. The two things that are going on, by the way, is that you are sending this tape out for advertisers as well as your contacts in Hollywood. Go ahead, Justin. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's a pretty crummy situation that you're making here. I mean, you want to get a tape of them so you could sell it to your friends in Hollywood and then disguise it as advertising, and you think that the listeners are stupid enough to not notice?
I didn't say stupid. I said that as listeners, you are selective listeners, and so some things you have a higher intelligence for than others, yes. But it doesn't mean you're stupid in 100%. I'm not. One of the things I don't want to do here, Justin, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying
I listen to this show is because it tells the kind of stuff that even most people don't want to hear. It tells it how it is, and so you're trying to tell me that I'm a selective listener and I want to hear what I want to hear, but I'm listening to stuff that even I don't want to try to hear because it's the truth.
Well, I don't know what you're saying.
So
I
how
mean,
am I a selective listener if I'm listening to this show?
You're listening to this show right now.
Yes, I pay attention to this show because I want to pay attention to it. If I had selective hearing, I would just zone out everything I didn't want to hear. But if I'm listening to a show, I'm paying attention to it, and you're telling me
did you hear?
Listener?
Everybody is. It doesn't. Did you hear Mr. Henry say he was on the air on September the 11th, 2001?
I most certainly heard him say that he was not, and he thinks it's not right that you're selling his voice.
That there, and David, you tried to trick this gentleman.
Hold on for just a minute, Justin. I'm sorry, I got to do this again. I want you to shut up while I'm talking to the listeners.
David,
I want you to shut up while I'm talking to the listeners.
I can embarrass you all day long, man.
Are you going to embarrass me? Sir, I don't want to have an argument. I'm trying to tell you what I want you on my side. I want you to understand that I've got potential production deals that are worth a lot of money.
So why don't you use your own? Why don't you use your own things that you've done to actually get those production deals instead of using Phil's things?
What I'm doing
to get them. Do you not have enough pull with these people to be able to do it yourself? Do you actually need help? I mean,
sir, when I go to a Hollywood producer and I say, look, I've got tape of what happened on the air on the morning of 9/11,
but you don't.
And he says that's
a lie.
You're basing all of your
productions right. And all of your friendships off of a lie, and it's not going to work.
On a lie, exactly.
Phil, if you say one more word, I'm going to tell you.
David, he's right. It is a lie. And the people in Hollywood or whatever you're talking about, you're telling them you have...
I told you to shut up. Justin, can I ask you a question, sir? Just,
yeah, sure,
do you, in business... Justin, what do you think about a guy that keeps on...
Phil just wanted to ask me a question. Hold on, let him talk.
No, he's not going to talk. I want to talk to you. And
I wanted to ask Justin...
I don't want you asking him anything. I'm talking to him. Justin, what do you think about a guy that won't shut up when you tell him to?
Well, I'm dealing with one because I have Phil trying to ask me a question and you won't shut up.
What do you think? No, I told Phil to shut up.
I know, but
the guy,
I'm acknowledging Phil now, so if you would please
Phil
has a question.
No, I'm asking, you don't get to acknowledge him. Acknowledge me. I'm the vice president of syndication.
I'm going to ask him a question.
Ooh. Well, you know something?
What's the pay scale like for that vice president job there, buddy? Is the money not enough? I mean, can the person who actually runs the show ask the questions?
Right now, I'm trying to tell my host what to do so that I've got at least a foot in the door of one of the biggest producers in Hollywood.
I've listened.
What's that?
Who cares? Why don't you, if you're the vice president, why do you need to
Are you, wait, you're telling me you don't care? Are you telling me you don't care that I've got a foot in the door?
No.
Yes,
no, I don't.
Yes, I'm the vice president.
If you're the vice president of whatever you are, why do you need to use Phil Henry to get you pull with the director? Why can't
because I need tape of a guy who was on the air on the morning of 9/11.
I wasn't on the air on the morning of 9/11.
Exactly. You missed out. Tough luck, buddy. Hope another one
for
you to capitalize on.
I hear Justin and I hear me. Did I just hear you again, Phil?
David, you can't shut me up.
Well, I'm telling you to shut up. And this gentleman that's on the phone right now doesn't understand what I'm saying because you keep butting in.
No, I'm trying to tell this man. I'm listening.
You don't understand. No, when Henry butts in, it confuses you. What I'm saying is this. I can get in the door. I can sit down and have lunch at one of the prime places in Hollywood with one of the top producers if I've got tape of a guy who was on the air on 9/11. Do you understand what that means to me?
So what if it means something to you? I'm not going to lie. And here's the question I wanted to ask Justin. Justin, when you heard us talking about this, you heard me specifically say I wasn't on the air on 9/11, right?
Oh, yeah, I've heard you say that multiple times.
And let me ask you something. On Friday morning, will you still remember that I said I wasn't on the air on 9/11, even as you hear me saying that I am on the air?
Oh, yeah, but I would hope that you wouldn't do that because that's just allowing him to...
Well, I'm not going to do it, you know.
Boy, Henry, you have just put your foot in it, and then you put the other foot in it. And what you've done, Phil, on behalf of this listener, you've humiliated me.
Dude, you humiliated yourself.
I don't know how I humiliated myself. Is the caller? I don't want to even talk to this caller anymore.
No, I like this caller. I think this gentleman is saying it. And
no, he won't listen to me, and he's sucking up to you. And
no, man. I just don't like it how someone who's vice president can have this huge attitude and then turn around and use someone like it's nothing and say that they were on the air.
I'm the vice president of syndication. Do you understand what that is? I'm over everybody except for the president. He's the only one that's over me. Okay? So when I tell him to shut up, he's got to... And if I say to you that something is blue when it's actually purple, you have to believe it's blue.
Why do I need to believe you're telling me?
What kind of...
No, you do.
All right.
Yes, you most certainly have to, because I'm the vice president.
If you told me the Holocaust was not real, the Holocaust never happened, is that what you're telling me?
If I needed that, yes.
Okay, I've had about enough of this, man.
Oh, I get it. So that means I hate Jews now.
Yeah.
You know, and this guy's laughing. So you guys have turned this all around, and now you're making me Heinrich Himmler, because that just gives you a kick, doesn't it, Henry?
You know something? Thank you very much, Justin, for your call. It's a very good call. I have to tell you something, all right?
No, you're not going to tell me anything. What I had this all nailed down beautifully. I had this nailed down to the point where I was going to have you come on the air on Friday morning, and I'll say, we have a tape. When Phil was on the air Friday on September the 11th, we play it. You were going to...
Don't tell me you're crying.
Why shouldn't I cry? We play the tape. Bill Kaufman, one of the biggest producers in Hollywood, would know that I had to, and we were going to sit down and have lunch.
What has this got to do with me?
What?
The tape. Me lying to my audience.
You're not lying. Every time you say you're lying, then they go, oh, wow, Phil's lying. If you would have just said I was on the air on 9/11, that guy, Justin, wouldn't have taken 5 minutes out of my life. You understand what he did? He took 5 minutes out of my life. Out of valuable 5 minutes out of my life. And I had to explain things to him. And you came in and did what you do. Now I know why you got toilet paper there in the studio. You took a big dump on it, didn't you?
Hey, all right, I've had about enough of that. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God, you hung up on Mr. Hall.
Oh, my God, did I really? Whoa, my God, I hung up on Mr. Hall. Did I hang up on Mr. Hall? Hey, Robert, did I hang up on Mr. Hall?
Looked like it to me.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to call back and everything.
Let him call back. Is that him now?
Line 3, yeah, it says Hall's line, yeah. Should I pick it up?
Go ahead. I don't care.
Phil Henry Show. Yeah, okay.
You ever, in the next five...
There, I hung up on him again.
Boy, you know he's going to call back.
Let him. Let him call. There it is, right?
Yeah. Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir.
I told you, the last time...
There, you want to see me do it again? And the more and more he calls, the more and more I'm going to hang up on him.
Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir.
You there? David.
All I want to say is...
Well, why don't you let him say something?
I've been listening to his big fat mouth for 45 minutes.
Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir.
Why don't you grow up and...
We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Thank
Radio,
you.
Radio for Patriots... Bye, Patriots. It's the Hello? Phil Henry Show.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, we're going to bring on Jeff Dowder with us here to talk about the. This news that we had on Voyager. Jeff, I'm glad you came on with us. I appreciate it very much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Phil, and thank you for, your interest in the NASA program and your interest in the JPL, and certainly your interest and your listeners' interest in the Voyager program, which has been ongoing since 1977. It passed Jupiter 2 years into the mission, and... So you can see that it did reach a point in the solar system that was quite a long way from Earth, even within a two-year period of time. But the understand about it is that the Voyager was taking a course that was mapped out by NASA, that it was able to reach these planets at the optimum time. So it wouldn't take like 2 years. It would take like two years to get to Mars or something, you know.
And so why did it take only 2 years to get as far as Jupiter?
Because, like I said, it was not trying to hit all of the planets and everything. It was going on a more of a direct route and everything like that. But you want to talk about Voyager and
this is a fascinating story of Voyager. The fact that Voyager now is on the verge of interstellar space. The fact that Voyager, and that means it's leaving the solar system, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's leaving the solar system, and when they say interstellar space, is basically right what that means about it. It's between, interstellar space, which basically means that it is, like you were saying, Phil, between stars. And it's in an area of, it's in an area of the galaxy or beyond a solar system, our solar system, where it's between the gravitational pull of our sun and the gravitational pull, say, of another star and any planets that may be orbiting that. So it's really sort of in that no man's land. But like you was also saying, there's other galactic elements. There's other, other astronomical factors like solar wind and like these hypercharged particles that you was talking about.
I think it's really interesting, Jeff, as I was talking to the audience, the fact that it's 11 billion miles, you know?
Yeah.
11 billion miles that Voyager has traveled in these 24 years. That's a long way, and yet it's not even out of, or barely out of the solar system.
Yeah, I mean, you were absolutely right when you were saying about how, you know, even all of that space that it's covered, it ain't even close to being in any kind of a, what do you want to call, people with on a planet or some deal like that, you know, because most of what they've been talking about are people who are, most of what they're doing.
Okay. It sounds like you guys are hitting a bong there.
No, we're not. I'm sorry. Okay, most of really what is happening right now, Phil, has nothing really to do with any kind of hyperspace travel. I mean, it's just not going to happen, which brings us to the movie that you were talking about, which was Star Trek, the very first Star Trek movie.
Right. Now, that was a fascinating movie because they did, on some level, they dealt with the journey of Voyager and what might have happened to Voyager.
Can you say that again?
You know what, Jeff? If you guys are hitting a bong...
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
Because I just heard it.
That is very unfortunate. That's Toby Bo, who's...
I don't know who Toby Bo is.
You want to... Okay, could you rephrase your question, Phil?
Well, it's not... Voyager figures prominently in the Star Trek movie, the first Star Trek movie.
What? Okay. God.
Would you get...
Get out of here, man. Get out of here. It does, Phil, and... Oh, wow, look at that. Is that ski jumping?
Hey, you're on the radio with me, man.
I'm sorry. There's a... Voyager, you know.
If you're stoned, man, then that's fine. You know, I mean, I'm not going to, you know.
No, I'm not. No. I mean, I'm talking to you.
Well, what is this? Hey, wow, is that skiing?
What?
Just tell me what's the thing with the movie? Not that I care.
Well, I wanted to point out that in the Star Trek movie, Voyager, which is what we're talking about, the satellite that has been sent on a, you know, out of the thing. That, what was I talking about?
You're talking about Voyager and Star Trek.
Voyager and Star Trek was, in the movie, Voyager goes out into space and comes back after having had some kind of sexual encounter with another race, okay? And it could be the Bort. I think that that's the theory that has been, you know, floated, or it's been floating, you know, it floats, that, or not floats, but it's been floating out there about...
About what?
About how Voyager went in the movie Star Trek, Voyager went into interstellar space and somehow was abducted or, I mean, this is really what happened to it. I shouldn't say it got raped by the Borg, you know?
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Yeah, Toby wrote a paper on this for his chem ed class, and that's what he said, that the Bork raped it. So,
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I'm talking about Voyager getting raped.
Voyager got raped by the Borg?
Yeah, the ones in Star Trek. And as a result of that, it came. Oh, man.
Well, you guys are hitting bongs. I can't understand anything you're saying.
Okay, let me just say it. It got raped by the Borg, and it came back, and then it raped one of the Star Trek crew members. It raped the captain. Is that right? I think. I don't know.
Phil.
Toby.
Henry.
Toby, what happened? You saw it. What happened?